You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. We're going through the Bible here, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And we're in the book of Ruth right now. We've got chapter 2, about verse 14. And what we have here is a beautiful love story, if you like a good love story. And no, I'm not going to call it romantic, because romance has nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, at the time that this was written, during the Judges, I'm not even sure Rome existed. Was there a Roman Empire? So how can you have something named after something that doesn't exist before it existed? So no, it wasn't romance. And in romance, you fall in love. But you know what I see here? I see a man who is loving a woman, and he rises in love. Because you think about falling in love, and a lot of people fall in love, and what do they fall for? Well, when you think about falling in love, you think mainly about infatuation. Oh, he's so good looking, or he has so much money, or so much desire, and it's all about self-gratification when you really think about falling in love with someone. What's happening to Boaz here? You know what? He is a love for this woman. If I were to use the term falling in love, I wouldn't say he, because when you rise in love, love requires action. So I would say rising in love. And there's a love rising up in him, and he demonstrates this love with works, because that's what love is. Love is works. You know, when people think about falling in love, or they say, I love you, they're talking about feelings. You know, and I could draw an extreme illustration. It's one I've seen demonstrated in my own life. I have my first wife. We had a son who was hurt and suffered brain damage and is retarded. And she left him. Of course, she left him with me, and she abandoned him and her family. But even to this day, she would say that she loves him. But there's no love demonstrated. She never rose in love to him. But of course, you know, I've had my son all these years. I rose to the occasion, and I took care of him despite the hurdles. So would you say that she really loves him? No, but she feels it. She would say, well, I don't hate him. Well, does she not hate him? If she, our actions demonstrate love and hate. It has nothing to do, because see, we feel things because we don't want to believe the truth about ourselves. So we would say that the wife out there who abandons her family and says, oh, well, I never hated them. It was just, you know, she did. She did hate them. She actually did, but she didn't want to feel it or admit what she was really doing. Because love is what you do, and hate is what you do. I mean, if the Heavenly Father says, Jacob I have loved and Esau I have hated, well, how? Esau didn't care about the things of God. Esau did not care about the resurrection of the dead. Esau did not go after the promises of God. So what's the result? He's not going to receive them. Is that hatred? Well, perhaps it is. He certainly loved Jacob, though, didn't he? When we think about love and hate, we have to think about what we do. Is it love or hate? The absence or the withdrawal of love is hatred. As benign as it may be, that's what it is. The withdrawal of love is hatred. See, because husbands, didn't the Father command you to love your wives? And what if you don't obey the commandment? Then you're hating your wives. If you withdraw your love, you're hating your wife. And wives, if you don't honor your husband, you may say, well, I love him. I'm just not going to honor him. No, you're hating. That's the hatred, because you're withdrawing that which you are required to do. It's demonstrated by your actions. So hate and love are demonstrated by action. The feelings or the emotion accompanies it. The feeling and the emotion is not it. And if you separate and you have the feeling, but the action isn't there, then it's a lie. It's false. It's a deception. So what we have is we have here a man who sees faith. And what does this man love? He loves faith. And when he sees faith in this woman, he loves her. And he demonstrates it by rising in love. And by rising in love, that means he takes the actions. He demonstrates his love by the works that he does. And listen to his works. And we've seen a little bit of it. He says, at mealtime, you come, you eat of the bread, you dip your morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reaper. She reached her perch, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. So now she's taking meals with the workers being provided by Boaz. He commands her to take the meals. And listen to what he said. And he said, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men. So now he's telling his workers, saying, you know, let her glean even among the sheaves. And don't reproach her. Let her get right in there and harvest with you guys. And let also fall, because realizing that her uprightness, she's not going to interpose herself and take more advantage than he should. So he says, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Let her come in, and don't, and rebuke her not. So he's letting his people know that I have a great favor for this woman. And he's demonstrating the love that he has for this woman. And why does he love this woman? Because of the beauty of her face. That's right. He looks at this woman, and he's not looking on her form, that she's some goddess to be acquired like romance does today, the goddess worship of romance does today. Oh, he's so handsome, or he's so beautiful, or she's so beautiful. And, you know, and men just marry women just because of their beauty, because of their physical attributes, knowing nothing. But faith doesn't matter. I gotta marry him. He's so handsome, and he's so to be desired, and everyone will see me with him or her, and I'll look better beside them or whatever. Nothing about faith, but he sees the beauty of her faith. That's what he sees. And this is what causes him to rise in love and demonstrate that the love that he has for this woman, because of the beauty of her faith. And men out there, I'm going to tell you, this is what you're looking for in a woman. You're looking for the beauty of faith in a woman, a godly woman, a hard thing to find. I'd like to find one myself. I've lost my wife several years ago, and it's a hard thing to find a beautiful woman of faith, and to see in a woman the beauty of faith. I see a lot of beautiful women, and a lot of beautiful women who claim to be Christians into corporate Christianity. You know, they go to some of these so-called Christian sites, and you just start reading the profiles of these women, and you just go, ah, what a shame. The beauty. I mean, because they declare their ugliness, and they think they're clever, and they think they're so what they are, you know, and they think they're wonderful. But I'm looking at them through the eyes of God's law, and I see ugliness there. Why did you leave your husband? Why are you divorced? My husband abandoned me. Well, that's okay. But most of them left their husbands for no good reason, for an unlawful reason. For me to join up with them would be to be consenting to adultery. I mean, Yahshua, he was fairly strict when he raised the standard up. And he said, if a woman leave her husband, or if a husband put off his wife for an unlawful cause, unless it be for fornication, and that is sexual immorality, something against God's law, that is, adultery, then they're committing and living in continual adultery. It doesn't matter if you go down and your new marriage is sanctified by the state. You're still living in adultery according to God's law. I can't enter into that. And it's just despicable. You go out there and you see some of these women, never been married. Oh, good. That's good. I have 3 children, never been married. What? What's going on here? Oh, certainly you must have, and I've been following the Lord for 20 years. And they're just declaring all of this, and it just gets worse and worse the more you read. And I have children, and I don't want any more. Oh, and you're like 35 years old? Well, you know what? So you want to practice birth control and abortion, and you have children, you've never been married, but you've been following the Lord since you were a teenager. It doesn't quite add up. It's just terrible. So, godly woman, hard to find. So, yes. So here, Boaz. What would Boaz think today, you know? But he sees the beauty of the faith of this Moabitess woman, the daughter-in-law of Naomi, who has fully embraced the faith of Israel, who proclaims openly the name of Yahuwah. Let's continue here. So he commands his man. He says, you know, let some more fruit. If she's following along, let some fall on the ground. I've got some oranges, citrus all around me where I am in the foothills here. And I can go in after the pickers have gone in and filled their bins and they've trucked them out. And I can get bags full of fruit. If you go in there right away, you know, you can pick up the oranges that have fallen on the ground and they're good. Of course, you don't want to go in there 2 weeks later and pick up the oranges. But if you go in there right away, a lot of good fruit falls on the ground. So we pick them up, put them in bags, bring them home. And I can go out there today, although it's hot. The fruit is warm. You want to go out there in the evening and pick it and then put it in the fridge to get it cold again. But there's still some good fruit on the trees. The stuff on the ground isn't any good. So I do a little gleaning myself. And I'm not ashamed of it. Still, the best oranges come right off the trees. And the best fruit of any kind comes right off the stalk or the tree. If you want it, really like it fresh. You know, it's a gift from our Heavenly Father. And by God's law, I can go in there. You know, I'm poor of oranges. I don't have any oranges. And that stuff they sell, oranges they sell by the time they get to the supermarket, and they're a little bit dried out, you know. A little bit mushy, just not quite just, you know, plump like they are right off the tree, full of the juice from the roots. So he's telling them, let some fall on purpose. You know, you see, because I'm sure the man doesn't, he wouldn't normally tell his guys to go in there and let some fall on purpose. Let some fall on purpose so that she can glean more, and wants her to have plenty. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that which she gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, her and her mother-in-law, and what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved, her after was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said to her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? So you have Ruth going in to glean with the other poor people, wherever. And Naomi doesn't know about it. And she's providing for Naomi, her and her mother-in-law. They have to pay rent, buy food, and all of the necessities of life. And so she's faithful in this, taking care of herself and her mother-in-law, working hard until even. And her mother-in-law says, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be Yahuwah, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is of near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended with all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou goest out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in another field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest, of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast, behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment on thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until she have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down to the floor and did according to all her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of Yahuwah, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou hast followedest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requiredest. And here we have the emphasis here. He's saying, you didn't go after romance. You did not follow after the romance of idolatry. You weren't looking for a young man. You weren't looking for the good-looking man that all of the other girls were going after, and a young man. But here you are, in obedience to the law of God, looking for a husband of your near kinsman. That's what he's saying. This is what we need to be seeing, understanding the law of God. And so when we read the book of Ruth, it is, we need to have an understanding of the law of God, or what is going on here simply flies by us. Many people will try to apply the idolatry of romance to this, and they go, oh, this is so romantic. No, it's not romantic. Romance is idolatry. This has nothing to do with romance. This is the beauty of a woman of faith. And he rises in love upon seeing the beauty of her faith. And she continues in obedience. See, Ruth, knowing the law of God, demonstrated throughout. She instructs her daughter in the law of God, and she does as she's told. And here we see that she is giving herself according to the law and according to the instruction of her mother-in-law, another faithful woman, and she demonstrates her faith through obedience. And he says, and now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. So her virtue demonstrated plainly, you know, like the light set upon a hill. He says that all of my people know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. So here you have another demonstration of a man who knows the law of God, and he is going to follow it to the letter, because he only wants to do those things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father, to our Creator. So he says, but I know you're going to give yourself to me to be my wife because I'm your near kinsman. But he's saying, but there is another nearer kinsman than I. I cannot take you. It would be unlawful for me to take you unless he refuse you. That's the law of God. We see it demonstrated. He has great favor to this woman. He has risen in love according to the beauty of her faith. He loves this woman, and he's not just going to take her, because you can tell he's already thought about it, taking her to wife, but he knows that he is not allowed to unless she is refused by the nearer kinsman, according to the law. So that's what he tells her. And he says in 3:12, now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of the kinsman to thee, as Yahuwah liveth. So he gives her a word, his word, that if he won't fulfill his part, that he will, because he is next in line as the kinsman. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured it 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done unto her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty into the mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou knowest how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest, until he have finished the thing this day. How beautiful. We'll be back in a few minutes.